Madhava Kunja Bihari Jana Vallabha Girivar Dari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dari Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Vandana Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Vandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Gangamayi Ki Jai, Jamunamayi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Pure Devotional Service, Text Number 5.
Gunadosha Bhida Drishtir Nigamate Nahi Sota Nigamena Pavadascha Bhidaya Itiha Brahma Gunadosha Bhidak Drishtir Nigamatte Nahi Swata Nigamena Pavadascha Bhidaya Itiha Brahma Gunadosha Bhidadrishtir Nigamate Nahi Swata Nigamena Pavadascha Bhidaya Itiha Brahma. Guna,
guna,
paiti,
paiti,
dosha,
dosha,
sin,
sin,
bhida,
bhida,
the difference between,
the difference between,
drishtihi,
drishtihi,
seeing,
seeing,
nigamat,
nigamat,
from Vedic knowledge,
from Vedic knowledge,
te,
te,
your,
na,
na,
not,
na,
he,
indeed,
indeed,
swataha,
swataha,
automatically,
automatically,
nigamena, by the Vedas, apavadaha, nullification, cha, also, vidayaha, of such distinction, iti,
thus,
ha, clearly,
clearly,
brahmaha,
brahma,
confusion,
confusion, translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, the distinction observed between piety and sin comes from your own Vedic knowledge and does not arrive by itself. If the same Vedic literature subsequently nullifies such distinctions between piety and sin, there will certainly be confusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15, the Lord Krishna says, Sarvas, Vedas chas, Vedas, Veda. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Interesting, I always notice all the Vedas, not some of them, but if you put them all together, the conclusion is you'll get the, but not piece by piece. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I know the Veda as it is. Vedic knowledge emanates from the breathing of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, whatever Lord Krishna speaks is Veda, or perfect knowledge. The Vedic literatures are full of descriptions of piety and sin, but Lord Krishna's statement that one should transcend piety and sin is also to be understood as Vedic knowledge. Thus, Uddhava has understood this point and therefore requests Lord Krishna to clear up an apparent contradiction. Ultimately, the material world gives a living entity a chance to satisfy their perverted desires and at the same time gradually achieve liberation of going back home, back to Godhead. Thus, material piety must be considered a means and never an ultimate end, since the material world itself is not absolute, being temporary and limited. The personality of Godhead is himself the reservoir of all virtue and goodness. Those persons and activities that please the Lord are to be considered virtuous, and those that displease him are considered sinful. There cannot be any other permanent definition of these terms. If one becomes a mundane moralist, forgetting the Supreme Lord, one's position is certainly imperfect, and one will not achieve the ultimate goal of piety, of going back home, back to Godhead. On the other hand, there's great fear amongst morals that if the distinction between piety and sin is minimized, people will commit many atrocities in the name of God. We've seen that. In the modern world, there's no clear understanding of spiritual authority, and moral men consider any appeal to transcend morality to be an invitation to fanaticism, anarchy, violence, and corruption. Thus, they regard material moral principles as more important than directly trying to please God. Because of this point is controversial, Uddhava is anxiously requesting the Lord to give a clear explanation. Om Ajnana Randasyam, Gina Anjana Salakaya, Chaksumalitanyena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave, Namaha, Jaitam, Sarito Pangor, Mamamanda, Matirgati, Matsarvasva, Patam Bojo, Radha Madana Mohano. So, when I was reading this verse and thinking that this is like a recap. It started off, Bhagavad Gita starts off with Arjuna asking almost a similar question. I was thinking of a couple of these points I was going to bring up and just see how we can see the similarity. And then I was thinking how Krishna has such patience that he goes over the same points. He gets asked the same questions over and over again, and he has such patience. So I was thinking, it was acting, when you think of Krishna and his qualities, it acts as an udipan. It brings, you start meditating on Krishna's qualities. So I was thinking, how could he have such patience? When I grew up, most people were impatient with me. They said, you already asked that. I said, well, I didn't understand. So they were short, you'd say. And then they called you names and stuff. So we don't see that in Krishna. So I was noticing, how is it? He gives you all the time you need. He doesn't lose. So I was thinking, first it's respect. He has a respect. He has love. He has regard. And he takes as much time. And how to have that type of patience. We also saw that in Prabhupada, that he would patiently go over something again and again with you. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it starts off, well, actually, we could say in verse 7 of chapter 2, Arjuna says, I'm now confused on the same point about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me certainly what is best for me. Now I'm a disciple, your disciple, and a soul surrendered to you. Please instruct me. And when we go to text 11, he says, because if we remember Arjuna, he had many nice moral principles that he was speaking. He was speaking in regards to these same questions about being trained in the Vedic culture, being understanding what is piety, what is sinful. Certainly sin will overcome us if we do these things. So he's asking almost the same points, and I'm going to connect these two. So in text 11, the Supreme Person of Godhead, while speaking learned words, he was speaking Vedas, you're mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise, so all right, there's two different things. You're speaking learned words, but those who are wise, what's he calling them when he says, those who are wise don't lament, neither for the living or the dead. They don't speak like this. So what does he say? It's in that purport. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter and spirit and the supreme is more important than religious formalities. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. So if we and it's this, the reason that this is being over and over again, even though it starts off in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's also at the almost the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is because there's a default setting that unless you are consciously reviewing your Krishna consciousness, you fall back into this in just a snap of a second, one glance, a glance. What's a glance? If you see an object, you get caught in like a conveyor belt that takes you to lose your intelligence. You know, everybody knows this two verses there. If you look at any sense, you're seeing it as an object, because we understand ultimately there aren't objects. It's all Krishna's energies. That what's the Shrisha Upanishad verse? One who sees everything in relationship to the Lord, what is their anxiety for him in quality one with the Lord? He never hates any being. So that's the Paramahansa vision. He sees like that. But in the middle, meantime, I sometimes play with words. It's mean time. Anyway, so in chapter 4, text 18, was it 18? 6:17. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. So this same point is being brought up over and over again. And it says, if you want to be happy, you have to understand this point that's being brought up, this Vaikuntha atmosphere. And Vaikuntha, no anxiety, to be free from anxiety. Ashnute. In the Shrishi Upanishad again, it says that you have to know the process of nescience, not being in it, but you have to know how it works, and you have to also know the process of devotional service, the process of divine sambandha gyan, knowledge. It's about relationship. And if you think about, we're born into duality. So what is the duality? The duality is matter and spirit. But for the Paramahansa, there's no more matter. There's all spirit. It's all different flavor. It's all Krishna's potencies. So, and then I was going to jump around a little to 1872. And this is relating to the same point. Why Krishna, he's bringing this back up again. Did you get it? He says, O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this when an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? So he's checking to see if he got it. And in the purport, the same point is brought up again by Prabhupada. And I just, relating this to this verse here. The Lord was acting as the spiritual master for Arjuna. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita if so required. He doesn't tire of doing this. We're going to, every day we also have to hear it. As soon as we see or think in the bodily conception of life, it's like a switch. These switches are, if you're an electrician or you know how switches work, they're called snap switches. Because if they open slowly, it'll cause an arc, and the arc builds up resistance, and the switch will fail. So what they do is they build up a spring, and then they snap open real fast. And they also snap close real fast. That's how we've dealt with this material energy. So when you're thinking about Krishna, if you just have one thought about material energy, all that you, without even noticing, you can be completely absorbed in it again. I'm the body, these are my family relations, this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my children, these are my parents. And without even noticing, you start thinking in that context. That's just what happens. It just happens like almost all the time. And then you come to Bhagavad, you chant your rounds, you come to class, and you're hearing these things again. And what do they say? Snap out of it. Come on, snap. Sometimes they'll smack you. Snap out of it. Okay. So we have to practice this. And this is why it's being brought back up again here, where he wants to understand it. And just like we mentioned that Sri Upanishad verse, to know the process of nescience. But even if you know it, you still have to have an engagement where you can stay transcendental to the material energy. You have to stay focused in it. Just like this morning we were reading constantly. What are some other words they use? Just like sadahari, one should always, constantly. What's another? A muhu. It's one of our favorites, muhuha. It's that's from the third verse of the Bhagavatam. What is it? Could you say that again? Again, do it again, and uninterrupted. How about that one from 126? Ahoy tukia patiata. Unmotivated, uninterrupted. You can't have any break in it because then it becomes contaminated. Mode of goodness in and out, and you know, there's that the problem with the material modes is they're always interacting. You get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's hard to get anything without the other one. They're always competing with each other. So when you can get this goodness and the pure goodness, this is what's required. So in right from the Sri Upanishad, all through the Bhagavad Gita, they're always mentioning for us, Prabhupada's made it so we could see it clearly, breaking down the Vedic information, that Krishna has Parashakti, has different energies, but specifically we just break it down into three. The internal potency, the external potency, and what's in between there? The marginal potency, that's where we come in. So we could go either way. It's sometimes compared to the beach where the water can come in and go out, and the line where the sand is, sometimes it's wet, sometimes it's dry. So that can be a controversial point, that once it dries out, it can get wet again. But besides that, it's being used as the example of the marginal potency. So we're in this situation where we're learning the external energy and the internal energy and our independence. This is our independence of the internal or the external, and it's very subtle how deeply that goes. So one of the things that I've noticed is there's a Sanskrit symbol that looks just like a three, but maybe a little smiley face next to it. Put a dot. Om. So that gets used quite a bit in our everyday. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhuva Vasvatat. There's Nama Om. There's lots of Oms around. In fact, it's all pervading. And this is these three, so you can remember again, this is your position. In fact, they can say that everything expands from this, especially the Gayatri. It explains how we're supposed to see the external energy, but for us, the worshipable vision that we're meditating on and that's divine is this internal potency, the vision of the internal potency of using everything anukulena for Krishna's pleasure. And how do you get that information? You get that information through your spiritual master, by pleasing the spiritual master, having faith in Krishna and the spiritual master. One gets qualified to hear his instructions, have faith in his instructions, and also experience the enthusiasm that he's giving to us. And then you can see that Gauravani Pracharane, by offering our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, who's preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya, that we're offering our obeisances to Lord Chaitanya's instructions that are coming through Srila Prabhupada. And we're seeing how that the whole purpose of this whole universe is simply to spread this consciousness of Krishna consciousness, because even in the nutshell verses, Rite Ritam Na Pratyeta, that Rite, the grammar is, but the word for word is Rite Artha. There's no value in anything here, because it, without a relationship in Krishna, what's in it for Krishna? He's neutral. You know, he takes care of things. But as soon as the relationship is there, then it has real value. So right now we're all reviving our relationship with Krishna. And this is very pleasing. This is the purpose of the whole universe. And that way, we're being enthused about this. And so now, understanding the psychology of how the mind works in material consciousness, how your spiritual mind works, your original senses work. You can engage your senses by understanding that the Krishna Tattva, the Sambandha. Then you can engage your senses and you experience a happiness because Krishna, the juice of exchanging with Krishna, is our life. That's the Govinda. He's always inviting us back. Come on back home, you know, Gopinath. And if you continue along, I don't know if anybody notices there's a progression here, but we're up to line 7. And anyway, that this is our real desire. Just like when it says, I was thinking about it the other day, najanam najanam nasundari. How do you say that without feeling, this doesn't pertain to me? I don't think like this. But we do think like this. This is how the soul thinks. And he's recognizing, just like Bhagavad Gita 2:70, it says, the incessant flow of desires that are entering like rivers into the ocean that's ever being filled but still in itself, he alone achieves peace, not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So it's not in the beginning that these desires go away. Just if we go to 259, it also says the embodied being may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. It's still there. But by experiencing the taste of pleasing Krishna, pleasing Prabhupada, pleasing the devotees, he can stay away from it. He has a shelter. We were talking, Keshe was just reading at 9:22, of how that the Krishna protects us. He's protecting us. And if we, here's some other verses. I just thought of a little string of verses. This is called self-realization. You realize the najanam, that you also have another nature. The marginal potency can go both ways. You have two natures. You have your contaminated nature and your original nature. So in the original nature, you have a Bharanya, Bhargo, Devish, Dhimi. You have a worshipable vision. You have a worshipable way of feeling. You already have that. And just like in that najanam najan, that's how you can say that without being a hypocrite. That's talking about me. This is actually all of us. We all want these things. The other things is the misuse of independence, and it's within the context of the material energy. So what we're basically doing, another verse, 429, 69, is we can call it wholesale. Wholesale. Sometimes you can buy something retail. You buy one unit at a time. But now they have the big box stores where you can buy it. The idea is that you're buying it wholesale, but it's almost the same thing. But anyway, the principle is there. If you can deal with, instead of material desires, one at a time. I remember one time I was talking to a devotee, and the person was upset because something wasn't going the way they wanted it to. So I asked the person, is it because your material desire is unfulfilled, or is it because you have a material desire? That was almost the same response. It was more of a, what? Kind of an idea. That as a devotee is progressing along, when he has material desire, he feels, oh, why do I still have material desires? Anartha Nivritti, I was hoping these would be gone by now. I've been chanting for such a long time, almost to nil. Why am I still being haunted by these impure reminiscences and things like that? When are they going to be gone? Or you're thinking, I actually want this. Maybe I'll pray for it and I'll get a good one of these. I'll get a good husband, good wife, good house, good job, good money. So many different things. So in that verse 429-69, it says sometimes Krishna's mercy, he lets you see all your material desires as material desire, wholesale. You can deal with it as a unit instead of each individual. How do I get rid of this desire, that desire, this desire? So he deals with all of them in a wholesale way, and that's by following the orders of the spiritual master, the Abhideya, which another way of is Sambandha Abhideya, is Jnana Vigyan. So this Vigyan, which is a very nice platform of devotional service, is based on this Vigyan, 13.5 purport, is you see the mind and all its different thoughts and the material energy separate from you. You see them both. This is our nice marginal position. You still have the choice, but it's now clear, just like in 1830, in the mode of goodness, one knows what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is liberating, what's binding, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared. So in this position, one can see all this clearly. He's just like in that position, if you have a material desire, comes back into your mind again, Maya will say to you, you sure you want this? You didn't pay attention and click. What happened? You know, she won't just give it to you and throw you into the covering and throw you and then cover you. She'll mention it first to you. You should have been finished with this. Did you maybe consider? Did you make some offense? You know, why is this coming back into your mind? If you remember the famous disciple, those two disciples of Madhavendra Puri, one famous, one infamous, where they both had the same spiritual master, but it said because Ramachandra Puri, is it? He made an offense, and because of an offense, it said because of that, cause and effect, material desires came back into his mind. So they're not supposed to be there. This is, they're punishing us. If you remember, these three points, what are the three points? Adibodhik, Adidaivik, and Adiatmik. Now these are the three points on the end of a trident that Durga's poking you with. And she keeps poking you with, and she says, do you get the point? Do you get the point? The point. So until we get the point, oh, I'm doing something wrong. Okay, so we're trying to come to this self-realized position because then there's the flavors there. So I was thinking, I'm going to read a couple verses to see if to drive the point home. All right, I'm going to go to 1851 through. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I'm basically 51 to maybe 61. All right, so in 51, Krishna's explaining a little bit about this position that this is our sober condition that we're supposed to come to. Krishna's giving us intelligence, 10-10. We know about that if you can withdraw your senses for a moment from the sense objects, will give you intelligence. And but if you get swept away by a strong wind, you can lose that again. So the intelligence, Krishna's working with us through that intelligence is an important thing. And Prabhupada defines it in 10.3 is the power. It's a power to understand things in a proper perspective. Okay, being purified by his intelligence, what's he do then? And controlling the mind with determination, which means he already Sama, Tatiksha, Dhriti, Dira. Those are the four things that Lord Chaitanya explained. Oh, he was quoting that. That's actually the Bhagavatam. But he was quoting it to Rupa Goswami, that this is what's required to get on the other side of birth and death. First, there's this soma platform, the equal platform. Just like, I think in the second, in 2:15. 2:14, Marta Sparsa Kunti, you have to learn to tolerate without being disturbed. And if you can, come to the equal platform. Then you can be liberated. So this equal platform is seeing the duality, not seeing it as duality, but seeing the oneness in the duality, the sama, equal vision, pandita sama darshan. So he's being purified by his intelligence, controlling his mind with determination, which was dhriti, and that's right before dhira, where he's sober again. We know about sober, and it's not intoxicated, so toxic. Material energy is toxic. Giving up the objects of sense gratification. Okay, that's how it works. Being free from attachment and hatred. And we remember that one was 727, being born into delusion, overcome by the desire and hate. You know, so there it is. Free from attachment and hatred. One who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, controls his body, mind, power of speech, who is always in trance. What's that? Always in trance. Means he's remembering Krishna. And who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, the acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship, and peaceful. Such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. This is what we're in line for. Everybody's in line. Sometimes if you somehow or other were in Disney World or Disneyland, depending how old you were, you're in line for 2 hours and you forgot that there's something at the end of the line. You know, you made friends with the people in front of you and behind you. You know, I think now they probably have tables and serve you snacks. And so, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. But then you finally get to the end of the line and you go in. So this is, we're all in line for this self-realization. And this is the symptoms of what's going to happen when that happens. And then what happens after we're going to get to the punchline of this is Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. But it says, one who is thus transcendentally situated once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. So what's that 11:42? Three things happen simultaneously. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He's equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he obtains pure devotional service unto me. So this is kind of the beginning. There, the flavor, Krishna is all about the relationship. Just like we mentioned, rite ritam. There's no value if there's for him or for us if it doesn't have a relationship. How many people are looking for relationships? Whether you're in one or you're not in one, you're looking for a relationship. In fact, I was having a discussion with my wife, and she was saying that when we had this meeting, some meeting where all the devotees were in different groups, and it says the most common difficulty that people were expressing was loneliness. Everybody's looking for a relationship. So, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, the relationship that we're looking for isn't available in the material nature. So, try as you will. There's a nice way to deal with it, but you have to, in Queen Kunti, there's more that explained very clearly. And she, in the purport, Prabhupada says that the real relationships with each other is there, it's via medium, the super soul. So this is how one has relationships. And one of the names for the super soul is your ever well wisher. Does that ring a bell? Prabhupada, the external manifestation of the super soul, he would always sign all his letters so you understood he's your ever well wisher. 12:13, he's a kind friend to everyone. He's non-envious, nirmatsaranam satam. Threefold miseries, no point anymore to them. No point to the threefold miseries anymore? They've been uprooted. Okay. You know that. There you go. Okay, thank you. All right. So I'm going to go on from 54. I'm going to go a couple more verses. Oh, it's almost time. Okay. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter the kingdom of God. And then what's he say after that? It's getting sweeter and sweeter. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches this eternal or perishable abode by my grace. And all activities just depend upon me. Work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you can become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, all right, here's the other side. You do not work in such consciousness, but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. You'll still, if you do not act according to my directions and do not fight, you'll be falsely directed by your nature. So your nature falsely directs you. And you'll be engaged in warfare. So our mind, it can falsely direct you. 255, person gives up all varieties of sense desire that arise from mental concoction. Find satisfaction in self alone. So then in 60, it says, under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my directions, but compelled by work born of your own nature, you will act all the same. Supreme Lord, so this is interesting, the way that there's certain intrigue on how Krishna writes the Bhagavad Gita and other, especially Upanishads, you know, talks first person, second person, third person. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. He's also speaking to Arjuna right now. And he's directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine made of material energy. So why does that come right there? Everybody's being controlled. If you go back to 13, 14, Krishna's claiming proprietorship over everybody's senses. My hands, my eyes, my ears. I exist in everything as a super soul. We think we're the doers, 327, but actually it's being carried out by Krishna through one of his different potencies. And so what to do? He concludes. He doesn't leave us hanging. He says, O Skarnabharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and supreme eternal abode. Thus I have explained to you, now it's still more confidential. Deliberate on it fully and then do what you wish to do. And then he gets back to again, he's saying this because, he says, because you are my very dear friend. I speak to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear from me for your benefit. You know where we're getting close to? Okay. Always think of me. There's the always word again. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. And then what's the next verse? Famous verse. Probably one of the most famous verses. Everybody knows it. Sarva Dhamma Pritya. He says, abandon all varieties of religion, which this is about the same point that today's class is, where he's saying, how can we tell? First you're giving me all the Vedas, and now, which constitute dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranetam, then you're saying to give them up. So here he's saying the same thing. Give up all varieties of religion. Sometimes I make jokes where you have to pardon me, where Krishna says, this religion is just killing me. It's giving me a bad name. You know, where they say in the name of religion, they're killing each other. They're in all these different wars, yet Crusades, yeah, the two major religions, they're killing each other. Of course, there's no wars over in the Middle East between the Jews and the Arabs. And I mean, everybody in my, this is my city, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. So they're, anyway, in the name of God, everybody's giving, it's just killing them. That can be taken in different ways. All right. So I think that's enough. I'm going to read the verse again, and we'll take questions if you like. My dear Lord, the distinctions between piety and sin come from your own Vedic knowledge and does not arise by itself. In the same Vedic literature subsequently, if the same Vedic literature subsequently nullifies such distinctions between piety and sin, there will certainly be confusion. So this is kind of a lame argument in one sense, because it's saying that you haven't read the other 11 cantos, you haven't followed all these same points, because a lot of times people use a point that you may have made, but they'll take it out of context and try to use it against you. It's quite popular now on the internet that they'll be quoting maybe 3 or 4 quotes by Prabhupada, but they're all out of context. In fact, we have one person at the prison that he's really good at this. He's in another camp, so to speak, and he writes all these things that Prabhupada says, but every one of them is slightly out of context to come to, with his own agenda. But it's quite amazing. He's quoting so many things, you know. So just like that verse, he says on the Saturday morning, how's it go? We quote, if one goes on chanting, Bahu, how's it go, Bahu? Yeah, can you say it? Oh. If one can go on chanting, infested, such a itchy. So it's so important, the Yesha Prashada, Bhagava Prashada, to just do things that's pleasing to the spiritual master. And you can tell, 3 things happen simultaneously. You'll become direct perception of Krishna, tushti, satisfied, nourished. That nourishment's also a very interesting thing if you connect it to 326.33, how bhakti dissolves the subtle body. It says that dissolves, it actually digests. It's a similar verse. It says, just like digestion takes place, what happens when you surrender, you're digesting your subtle body, because there's 2 things happens in digestion. When it's in your stomach, it gets separated into 2 categories. You know the 2 categories? One is nourishment, and what's the other stuff? Excrement. So you reject those things unfavorable, it gets rejected, and your spiritual body gets nourished. So that's the 3 things. Which sloka? Oh, that in other words, there's a Bible statement that says the devil is expert at quoting scripture. How's that? So in other words, unless your intention is pleasing a spiritual master, then the road to hell is lined with good intentions. That one has to always be a little introspective, that to be pleasing to Krishna and Prabhupada, and not using Krishna's message, Prabhupada's message, in such a way that you have another point to make. And if you do, that can backfire. You know, backfire, you shoot a gun, but it goes the wrong way. Like envy. You say something, but you don't hurt the other person. What? How do they, you know the definition of envy? It says, you cut your nose to spite your face. But there's another one. Is you're thinking bad thoughts about someone else, but it's actually affecting yourself. What is it? Oh, yeah. Drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Yeah, so that's envy. You're actually drinking the poison yourself. But and if a vulture curses a cow, it'll have no effect. So, we have a question from... Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. We understand that the jiva tattva is marginal energy, and that the nitya buddha and nitya siddha are both jiva tattva. But are the nitya siddhas marginal? I mean, they're just...
That's always an interesting topic, but the way that I've understood it is the potency is there. Just like, for instance, there's a prison. I go to that prison. Not everybody's in that prison. There's actually, there's 2,000 people in that prison. But how many people are in Florida? So many people. So the prison's there. I kind of like visit there, but I have different rights than the people that are sentenced there. So we're all under Krishna's protection. We're all parts and parcels of Krishna. So as far as I've understood, the marginal potency has the potency. We're not really marginal. We're part and parcel of Krishna, but we're in a marginal position. And that choice is there. As far as I've understood, we don't become Shakti Tattva when we're liberated. The choice remains, but you don't do it. Just like a lot of these prisoners, they get out, and they do not want to go back. So even though the tendency is there, maybe some of their old friends are there, they know what it's like. And that memory, someplace, that I'm sure you don't live all the time with that in your mind, that I'll go to jail, but the opportunity is there if you want. Is that all right?
Yeah, thank you. Yesterday I was speaking with a devotee, and brought up the question, and I couldn't answer it satisfactorily, and we just couldn't understand that. You know, what could the jiva have done in the spiritual world, having experienced the whole, you know, relationship with Krishna fully, and what could they have done so much that it warranted Krishna to sentence them to such extensive
There's
suffering.
Been a couple different answers explained to that, and some of them you would have to be prepared to cry for a long time, so we won't go to that one right away. But there's Mother Irma gave a nice answer one time, that she explained that it's not something you did once and now you're in jail. It's something in present time we're continuing to do. See, we're used to thinking you did something, then you got a, like you used the word sentence. Mm-hmm. But it's not something you did. It's something we're doing. So it's a slightly different way of thinking about it.
But there was a beginning point, was there not? We fell.
That's always... I think about that from time to time, and I take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's words, or Prabhupada's words for that. And you know what Lord Chaitanya said? Shikshasaka number 5. Somehow or other. Now, maybe he was short on words, he didn't want to get into it just then, but he says somehow or other. And Srila Prabhupada also pointed out, and for myself, when I thought about it for some time, when the cause is still present, you can't get rid of the effect. There's a rahasya. You know the word rahasya? It's a mystery. There's a mystery to my understanding. Krishna explains there's a mystery. There's an intrigue. Did you ever... there's mystery books. And in mystery books, you just started the book. You're really getting into it now. And somebody comes by and says, Butler did it. What would you say? You probably hit him. You say, I'm reading the book. The excitement is in reading the book. Don't tell me the answer. So in Krishna consciousness, this is between you and Krishna. It's not a you want a cookie cutter answer, but there's something, and because the cause is still present, you can't get rid of the effect, which means the effect is ignorance. The whole purpose of this whole material existence is that's the end, that conclusion will manifest, but you can't tell it to anybody. You can try, but as long as the cause is still there, then the effect can't be gotten rid of. Do you know what I mean by that? Like if you have a hole in your tire, you can put air in it, but it just goes back out again. It has to do with your relationship with Krishna. And when the relationship is different, then one understands it. But I can give you a couple hints. Krishna also uses, and Prabhupada uses this word hint quite a bit. You know, that he gives Arjuna a hint. If you do a query on the word hint, you'll see how many times in esoteric matters, you can't always just tell somebody. You have to give them a hint. And when Krishna was with when Krishna was talking to Lord Brahma, 2:9:22, he says, "I'm very pleased with your ingenuity. There's certain things you're supposed to do your homework." And I'm using home in the sense of going back to Godhead. So there's a certain amount of introspective work, a self-examination. But I can tell you that this whole material world is hints. And most of the hints come in the form of pain. You know, because if you're, I don't know if you've had any, but most of us have. And when you're feeling in pain, someone comes up to you and says, "What's wrong?" So there's a connection between wrong and pain. Now, in the spiritual world, you've already finished with the trident of Lord of Durga, so there's no more point to pain. That's kind of using it in a double entendre. So the next time there's something that's, like for instance, one of the ways that I've used it is there's a word called unrequited love. Has anybody here ever experienced any of that? You may have it with a husband, you may have it with a wife, you may have it with a child, but generally speaking, it's pretty universal. I don't know. And how about one of the other items that we have in this world besides death is divorce. Someone who you gave your heart to, you loved, you wanted to protect, take care of, do everything. Now all of a sudden the person's on the other side of a line and says, "I want your energy, but I don't want you. I don't want to hear your name. I don't want to even know you exist. But keep the money coming and I'll take the house and I'll take the dog." You know, so how do you think that would feel? Now, how about someone who's never stopped loving you? Never, I mean, what can you talk about? When you talk about looks, who looks like Krishna? His beauty is unsurpassed. His personality is the best. He loves, never stops loving, ever. And what is it that we're doing, or what is it that we've done? What was the original thing? You don't have to put it in the past tense as far as an original. And as you start to experience, it's a nice subject for a book. Oh, we got another question. I thought we were already finished.
Prabhupada sings the song Anadi Karma Pala. Oh. Anadi karma pali. The results of our karma, you can't trace them out. Prabhupada uses that word. If you try to trace out the beginning of our fruitive activities and acting independently of Krishna, you can't do that because it's before the creation. Krishna says, Icha dvesha samutthina dvandva mohena bharata. All living entities, translation are born into delusion, the dualities of desire and hate.
But see, that's
the word is sarga, which means before the creation. So before time even began, before relative space is even there, that's the origin of our rebellion against Krishna. You can't trace it in material time. So it's really just, it's beyond our comprehension. Because we think of everything in terms of, it started at this time and this place, but it's not like that.
And then also when you said we're born into delusion, but we're not born. What's born? And the subtle existence, the false conception of the duality of delusion is born into our consciousness because we're thinking there's something else besides our relationship with Krishna. There's something else besides Krishna. Is there something else? Vasudev Sarvamiti. Is there something else? Where else? Where'd it come from? Because even they say there's intelligent design. That's kind of popular. But intelligent is coming from an intelligent person. And he's got a purpose. Have you ever seen a machine that's got an engineer, big engineer, makes this wonderful machine, but it doesn't do anything? It doesn't have a purpose. Every machine always has a purpose. So what's the purpose of this machine? In the prayers by personified Vedas, it mentions that our senses have two different functions. One function is to liberate you, and the other is to entangle you. So anyway, thank you. We run over time, imagine. Hare Krishna. All glories of Prabhupada. Patita Bhava.